Luke chapter 18. Jesus teaches about prayer. And Jesus told them a parable, that they should always pray and never give up, saying, "There was in a city a judge who didn't fear God and didn't think about people. And there was a widow in that city, and she came often to him, saying, 'Give me justice against my enemy.' For a while he wouldn't. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor regard man, because this widow keeps on troubling me, I will give her justice, lest she wears me out by her continual coming.' Now in those days, courts weren't quite like they are now. Everyone would have been shouting and screaming, and it was very dominated by men. And for some woman to come shouting out, 'Please give me justice, this person's beating me up,' well, generally such people were just not listened to. But she kept on and on and on. And even this judge, who did not care at all about people nor about God, eventually he got worn out by this woman and he gave in and said, 'Okay, I'll give you justice.' I presume he would have said to the person who was beating her up or using her badly, 'Don't do it anymore.' And the Lord Jesus said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And shall not God give justice to his chosen who cry to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you that he will give justice to them quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" So what Jesus is saying is, if we keep praying to God, he really will hear us. He really will. Because he loves us and he really wants to answer our prayers. Whereas this man, who was an unjust judge who did not care about people nor about God, this man, even he gave in because the woman kept on. Now this is why we've got to keep on praying. And it's why you don't get the answers straight away. That's all in God's wisdom. It's not that he's being difficult. It's not that he's just hasn't got time for us, or that he's not really that interested. He is. But I suppose he realizes that if he says yes straight away to whatever we ask him for, that would not help us. We would then become demanding of God. Do this, do that. We are sinners. We're naughty and sinful people. And we have no right to demand anything from God. But if we keep on asking, then he will answer. And yet Jesus goes on to say, despite this, when the Son of Man comes, that's when he comes back to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? And it seems to be an open question. Will actually anyone really have the faith they should have? Despite the fact that he is so eager to answer our prayers, will he actually find anyone believing? That's why he says that, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? After telling us this parable where he's saying, look, even men who don't care about people nor God, even those people eventually give in if you keep on asking. So he's saying God is even more quick to respond, far quicker and more eager. He loves us. He wants to hear us. But despite that, despite God being so willing to answer prayer, will actually anybody still believe when Jesus comes back? And that means that in the world in which we live, because we believe we live at the end of time, we live just before the return of Jesus to the earth, will anyone believe? And we believe that there will be believers, and there are believers, many good believers right now, just before Jesus is coming back. But he recognizes that it will be a time of no faith. As he said just a few sections before in Luke, it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot, where everybody is caught up doing their human things, buying, selling, getting married, trading, doing all these things to the point that they're obsessed with them. And they have no room for faith in their lives.
How can you be obsessed with marrying?
Well, I suppose what it means is there's nothing wrong with getting married, but you can just be so full of your human relationships, the new family that you hope to build, your dreams for yourself, that actually you have no time for God. Because in the end, God and his Son must come first. Well, Jesus told another parable, also about prayer. But he told it to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and who treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, that's one of these Jews who loved to show how much they believed in God and how righteous they were. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector, whom everybody thought was a friend of the Romans and was a sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, unjust, adulterers, extortioners, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes, 10% of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept hitting his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I say to you, this man went home counted righteous more than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbles himself will be exalted. So that's the attitude we should have in prayer. God have mercy on me, the sinner. Rather than being self-righteous and in your so-called prayer to God, just telling God how good you are. That's really something that God really doesn't like. So then, we should be humble in prayer and we should keep on in prayer. God's not deaf. And he listens to all that we say. And it's not that he won't respond until you say 100 prayers or 1,000 prayers or something. But because he does not respond immediately, this encourages us, it's for our benefit, that we should continue praying. And that's why prayer must be a habit in our lives.